Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Yet another exciting episode of Kalam Astro. Welcome to all of space lovers and enthusiasts. We are kicking off our amazing space show, Kalam Astro and Pulse 95. We've got lots to talk about, exciting news, exciting updates and details about our lovely space and universe, which goes beyond comprehension. We don't know how vast the universe is, so we've got lots to talk about. It will never end. I think Kalam Astro would never end because there are lots to talk about when we talk about the universe, the vast universe which goes even outside our solar system. We will be talking about space debris. We will be talking about a planet, or let's say a moon of one of our solar systems, its planet that is able to support life, and we have much more in store. I would definitely love that you all stay curious and keep it right here with us. Don't go anywhere. Keep your radio waves on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95. Pulse 95. This is Pulse 95. Pulse 95.
Keeping it local, all day, every day.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuaimi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Hello there, space cadets and space lovers. Welcome back to Kalam Astro, our super fun space radio show. Well, tonight, we are going to talk about something really exciting and maybe a little bit scary that happened recently in space. Right, so I'll get straight right to the point. Won't go talking topsy-turvy, I would say. So, yeah, everything is always topsy-turvy when it comes to space. But then again, let's go to the world of imagination. Right, so imagine you guys have two toys, let's say, okay? So let's call them Cosmo and Timmy. So you've got two toys, Cosmo and Timmy. Love their names. Anyhow, right, so picture this. Cosmo and Timmy, your toys, are zooming around in a big open room, pretending to be satellites which are orbiting the Earth or orbiting around Earth. And then suddenly, they come super close to each other, Cosmo and Timmy, and they almost bump into one another. That's kind of what happened with the two real satellites up in space. Yes, latest news and latest updates. Two satellites were about to bump into one another. One of these satellites is a Russian spy satellite called Cosmos 2221, which is no longer working, and the other one is a NASA satellite called TIMED, which has been studying our planet's atmosphere since 2001. They had a really close call because they were passing within just 33 feet, which is 10 meters away from each other. That's about the length of a school bus. Yes, not very far. Two satellites about to crash. They were about to crash into one another, and this is completely disastrous. Now, NASA's deputy administrator, who is called Pam Mallory, stated that this close encounter really, really shocked and scared everyone at NASA, because if the two satellites had crashed into each other, they would have broken into lots, and when I say lots of tiny pieces called space debris. Now, these pieces would have been flying around super fast, and potentially this would cause damage to other satellites or even putting astronauts who are out there in space in danger. So imagine these two satellites crashing, creating lots of space junk or more space junk and debris, and then these pieces or blown up pieces or let's say broken pieces start to hit other satellites that are operating. Now this is becoming a bigger problem because there are more and more satellites being launched into space as we speak, because right now there are about 11,500 satellites orbiting the Earth, and over half of them belong to the company SpaceX, and this SpaceX company is building a huge network of satellites as we know it to provide internet access everywhere. Now, This is getting us a little bit worried or concerned, especially when it comes to NASA or SpaceX. But it's not just the working satellites up there that we're really worried about, because there are also lots of space junk, 36,500 pieces of space junk that are at least as big as, well, wouldn't say as your hand, well, and millions of even smaller pieces. Right, so even the tiny bits of junk can definitely cause damage to any operating satellite up there, because they're moving so fast, much faster than a speeding bullet. Yes, you heard that correctly. So how to solve the problem? Well, NASA's working very, very hard to help solve this space junk problem, because it's becoming annoying and they're coming up with new ideas and rules to make sure that these space trays clean and these space trays are clean and safe for everyone. So it's kind of like how we all need to work together to keep our planet clean, but not littering and recycling. So someone has to clean up there as well in space, right? For now, remember, space cadets, even though space is really big, it's important that we take care of it and make sure it stays safe for all the amazing satellites and astronauts up there. A quick break and we are coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
Keeping it local, all day, every day.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al Nwemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome again, space lovers, to Kalam Astro, where everything is all about space. Now, we are going on a super cool adventure together, as we always do, but this time, our adventure, our interesting adventure, is all the way to one of Saturn's moons, which is called Enceladus. Let me ask all of you guys, what makes Enceladus so special as a Saturn moon? Text me on 4215. Let me know if you guys know the answer. Why is Saturn's moon Enceladus so, so special? I won't be waiting for long. I have to expose and tell you the answer. Well, because Enceladus is like a giant snowball in space. But underneath all that ice, there is a big ocean of water. Now, scientists think that this ocean might be a great place to look for alien life. So imagine these tiny creatures swimming around in the water, just waiting for us to just discover them and just, you know, meet them. So these clever scientists are working very, very hard to figure out how to find these extraterrestrial cells. Because, you see, Enceladus, Saturn's moon, has these awesome geysers in its south pole. Now, geysers means a hot spring in which water boils, and this sends a tall column of water and steam into the air, just like Khalid Lagoon in Sharjah. You see the lagoon and you see the fountain, how it goes all the way up? That's a geyser, basically. So they shoot out gas and tiny bits of ice that come from the ocean water. So you can say it's like the moon is sneezing, I would say. Right, so scientists can study these ice grains to learn more about what's in the ocean. And they found something very interesting, because they've already found some exciting things in the ice, like salt, just like our ocean. On planet Earth, carbon-based compounds, which are very, very important for life, and even phosphate, which is a key ingredient in our DNA. Doesn't this ring a bell? Doesn't this tell you that there is life in Enceladus, Saturn's moon? Yes, they do, because all of these discoveries make scientists think that Enceladus could be a great place for life to exist. Now, there's a tricky part. Figuring out how to detect life in these ice grains is not just easy. It's not as easy as we think, because scientists are designing special instruments that could be sent to Enceladus on a spacecraft. And now these instruments would be able to analyze the ice grains that came out from Enceladus and look for signs of bacteria or any tiny living things. So in their labs, scientists have tested those or these instruments that they have built to see if they might be able to work by simulating the conditions of Enceladus. So what they did is they used a special setup to create tiny droplets of water that contained bacteria and then zapped them with lasers. And now, after they did that, they measured the results. So they gave a comparison so they could predict what the instruments might find if they encountered a real bacteria cell in a nice grain from Enceladus. Now, the good news is that the instruments that scientists have worked on did a great job to identify the bacterial material, even if there was only a tiny amount in the ice grain. So this means that if there is life on Enceladus, we have a good chance of finding it with the right tools. So for now, scientists are really excited about the possibility of discovering life on Enceladus or any other icy moons like Jupiter's moon Europa. So in the coming years, I would say that NASA and the European Space Agency have a plan to send missions to explore these fascinating places and, well, we can say moons. Yeah, so who knows what incredible discoveries they might be able to make. Yeah. For now, I would want that all of you to keep your eyes on the skies, space cadets, because the search for alien life is on. I can't wait for them to discover aliens. I truly do believe that aliens do exist. Right, yes, and Enceladus might just be the place where we find aliens. Wouldn't that be out of this world? It is, definitely. Defo. Right, quick break and we're coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro. Well, it's time for another exciting segment of our space radio show, Kalam Astro. And tonight, we're going to talk about something really important as well, keeping space clean and safe for everyone, because as we mentioned at the beginning of this show, we almost had two satellites crashing into each other. So, this thing or issue about space junk being all the way filled with all of these satellites, yes, that would cause a problem, because if these satellites are never cleaned up, space would be pretty messy, right? So this is all about keeping space clean. Now, countries like India, sometimes they send rockets and satellites into space, and these parts, or part of these satellites, are left behind after they have done their job. And these leftover bits, which we've mentioned, are called space debris, and they can cause problems for other spacecraft orbiting Earth. But here's the thing. We shouldn't be worried very much, because there are smart scientists at the Indian Space Research Organization who have a very well-studied plan, because they want to make sure that by the year 2030, all of their space missions will be debris-free. That means they'll find ways to bring back or safely destroy any leftover parts so they don't clutter up space. Remember, you guys, when we talked about Florida with a piece from space falling on someone's house in Florida? This could be part of the problem when it comes to space junk. Yes, a huge piece, or let's say I think NASA detected it and recognized that it's a battery, which not just the same battery that we use for our toys or electronics. No, it's a huge battery. I don't know it weighs how much, but definitely if it falls on someone's head, they're gone, right? So imagine this piece have fell from the International Space Station to Florida on someone's house. So that would be pretty much of a trouble. Yeah, it's a Mexican standoff, definitely. Yes, so India is working to have all their space missions debris-free, and they'll find ways to bring back or, let's say, safely destroy all of the leftover parts of their spacecrafts or satellites. So, in fact, this amazing Indian Space Research Organization has already started doing this, because in March, they made sure that one of their rockets left almost no debris behind, and they did this by lowering the used up or decreasing the used up rocket stage back into Earth's atmosphere where it burnt up safely. It's like when you're done with a piece of paper and you throw it into the recycling bin. The Indian organization is doing something similar, we can say, but instead of recycling, they're making sure that the debris burns up completely into the atmosphere so it doesn't leave any parts behind. That is pretty much smart, I would say. Now, you might be wondering, is it okay or is it fine to let things burn up into the atmosphere in space? And that's a very, very great question if you've ever thought about it, because yes, scientists are still studying how this might affect Earth's environment, and they definitely do want to make sure that burning space debris does not cause any harm to the special layer around Earth, which is called the ozone layer. And this ozone layer protects us from the sun's harmful rays. So if anything burns in the ozone layer, it might be causing damage to Earth. And that's why scientists are working very, very hard to conduct studies and research to make sure if anything burns up in the ozone layer when it comes to the pieces of broken parts of satellites or spacecrafts won't be harming the ozone layer and won't be harming Earth's environment. Yeah, so while the Indian Space Research Organization and other space agencies work on keeping space clean, scientists will definitely keep investigating to ensure we're taking care of both space and Earth. Well, yes, that's it for this segment, Space Cadets. Remember, just like we need to keep our rooms tidy, it's important to keep space clean too. Right, another quick break and we are coming back. We are not done yet. We still have more to talk about. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
It's a Shasha story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al Nwemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Well, I would say that was a very, very interesting discussion a while ago about space junk and space debris falling from space all the way to us. This is a possibility. It might be happening, but no, it shouldn't be happening again, because NASA and the Indian Space Research Organization are working very hard to make sure that any other leftover parts of space debris or satellites or broken pieces do not fall on Earth, but completely burned. So don't worry, guys, nothing will be falling off on your house ceiling or your living room as you watch your favorite TV show or anything, or as you're listening to Pulse 95 and Kalam Astro. Don't worry, not going to happen. I doubt it, though, because I have sixth sense. If it would happen to anyone, it would definitely happen to me. I have the worst luck ever. Never mind me being all negative and morbid. Anyhow, right, so this segment, we're going to talk about something pretty much, I would say, very nice, yeah, that happened to Earth a long, long time ago. So don't worry, it's been very, very long time ago, and that's about 41,000 years ago, to be exact. Right, so let's go into the world of imagination. So imagine Earth as a big blue marble floating in space, and it's surrounded by an invisible shield called the magnetosphere. Now, this shield, which is shielding Earth, is like a superhero's force field, and it's protecting Earth, or protecting us from tiny particles called cosmic rays that zoom through space at very, very, very high speed. Now, these cosmic rays are likely kind of like tiny bullets fired from exploding stars very, very far away from us, and it's quite scary, to be honest now, because usually Earth's magnetosphere is strong enough to bounce most of these cosmic rays away, keeping us very, very safe and sound. But sometimes this shield can get a bit weak, so like it did 41,000 years ago during what scientists call Lasham's excursion. So basically, to break it down, Earth was protected by a shield, and this shield protected Earth from any cosmos or anything trying to hit space, but anything trying to hit Earth. But sometimes this shield gets weak, and if it gets weak, these bullets, or the cosmos that are coming like bullets, can penetrate and go into Earth and cause damage. And this happened 41,000 years ago. Now, when this happened, it was like Earth's shield lost its superpowers for a very, very little while, and the North and the South magnetic poles, which are like the shield's anchors, we can say, disappeared and were replaced by lots of smaller, weaker poles. Now, this made it very easy for the cosmic rays to get through and penetrate, reach Earth's atmosphere, in other words. Now, the scientists have discovered this by studying special types of atoms called isotopes. Now, these isotopes are like different flavors of the same element. When cosmic rays hit these atoms in the atmosphere, they create new isotopes. And these isotopes fall to Earth's surface and get trapped in ice at the bottom of the ocean. Now, by studying these isotopes, the scientists have found out that during the Lacham's excursion, the number of cosmic rays reaching Earth doubled compared to what we see today. So, in other words, this means Earth's magnetosphere was much weaker and very small, much smaller, making it very easy for cosmic rays to get through. Now, if you are on the line with me, you would be understanding, you probably would tell that understanding events like this is highly important because it helps us predict what might happen in the future and how it could affect our planet and all the living things on it. Now, scientists are really, really working hard to learn more about these cosmic ray explosions, I would say, and how they relate to Earth's magnetic shield. So, I would say for now, don't be very, very concerned or very worried. The shield around Earth was weak before 41,000 years ago, but it's getting much stronger. So, anytime soon, no gamma ray burst would be coming or our way. The next time you look up at the sky, again, remember that Earth has its own invisible shield protecting us from cosmic rays, and scientists are like detectives. They're uncovering the secrets of our planet's past to help us better understand our future and get us protected even more. Quick break and we are coming back. Don't go anywhere. Keep the radio waves locked on Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Well, my lovely space cadets and friends, it is time for us to wrap up another incredible journey through the cosmos on Kalam Astro on Pulse 95. Now, before we say goodbye, I definitely want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in and joining me on this amazing adventure. Now, your curiosity and enthusiasm for all things space definitely always makes me happy. So do text us on 4215. Let me know what you guys think about tonight's episode. And if you have any more topics that you would like that we discuss on Kalam Astro, I'm very open to receive your comments and ideas and thoughts. Yeah, why not? Right, so over the past few segments for tonight, we've covered some truly fascinating topics. We started with the shocking news of NASA's satellite narrowly avoiding a collision with space junk, and this have reminded us of the importance of keeping our orbital environment very, very clean. Then we explored the exciting possibility of life on Saturn's moon Enceladus, and that's thanks to its hidden ocean, which got live bacteria in it. We also learned about India's ambitious plans to achieve debris-free space missions by 2030, and this sets an example for other nations to follow, definitely. And finally, we also took a trip back in time to discover how Earth was exploding by cosmic rays 41,000 years ago due to the weakened magnetic field. Now, this story highlighted the incredible proactive role of our planet's magnetosphere plays in shielding us from the dangers of space radiation. Now, it's been an absolute pleasure sharing all of these discoveries with all of you guys, and I hope you find them as captivating as I have. I know space is a bit complicated and the information might be quite heavy, but then again, we're still trying to do our best to simplify space information. Remember, there's always something new and exciting happening in the vast expanse of space, and we will be here to explore it together on Kalam Astro. So, With that being said, do not forget to join me again next week, every Saturday and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Pulse 95 for more mind-blowing space news and discoveries. So until then, I would love that all of you to keep your eyes on the stars and your minds open to the endless possibilities of the universe. This is your host, Ali and Naomi, signing off. Stay curious, stay amazed, and never stop exploring the wonders of space. And I hope I get to see you next week on Kalam Astro and again on your favorite radio station, Pulse 95.
The heart of Sharjah.
Pulse 95.
Keeping it local, all day, every day.